Join me in prayer. Lord, we pray that our thoughts will be centered on you in this moment, that the meditations of our heart will be turned towards you. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you open us in a way that receives your word and draws us ever closer into your love. Speak to us, Lord. May your word be living and true and guide us in all ways. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple different scripture passages we'll be looking at this morning. The first is Psalm 139, but I'll just be reading select verses, verses 1 through 6, and then verses 8 through 13. That's not right. Verses 1 through 6, verses 13 through 18. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. For it is you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. And now turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll just be reading verses 8 through 13. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. There are certain messages that I think are worth repeating probably several times a year. And so a lot of what the Lord laid on my heart to share with you this morning are things that you've heard from me and from others. Things that some of you have heard a lot from me, but things that I feel are so foundational to who we are that are worth repeating and considering. Each of us is born with a set of desires, a set of longings that we need in life in order to flourish and thrive. Some might call these core desires. Some might call them core longings, but within each of us are these certain things that we need because we are human and created in God's image. Now, you can look at a lot of different spiritual fathers or writers, spiritual mothers, and they would have their own kind of list of what these desires might be. Oftentimes in our teaching, we talk about six of these core longings or core desires. The need to belong, to feel like we're a part of a community, the need for purpose in our lives. Each of us is created in the image of God and created for a purpose. To love and be loved. This desire to love and be loved. A desire for understanding. And what we mean when we say that isn't that we understand things, but that we feel understood. That there are people in our lives that have empathy for us, that we feel felt by other people. That we have a sense of security in our lives, of safety, and that we have a sense of significance. That we feel like people look at us and say, oh, you're a wonder in my eyes. There's something about you that you realize you're significant. Okay, we need these things. And when we're born into the world, we have a desire to have these needs met in us. And because we're created in the image of God, God places these desires ultimately so that they will lead us to the one who can meet all of these desires fully. But yet we are a broken people in a broken world. And even though it's designed so that we would first have these desires met by our parents, and then that would set us up so that we would have them met by God, each and every one of us, as great as our parents may or may not have been, are left with longings in each of these areas. We each have some deficit with each of these desires. So each of us have this need to belong, and it may have been met in a great way, but there might have been times in our life where we didn't quite feel like we belonged. And so while they're meant to be met first and foremost by God and then by others in our lives, to some degree or another, each of us have some lacking within these core longings. We didn't quite get all that we needed in this particular area. Now, I would say all of us, that's true in all six of those areas. But most of us have one or two areas where we especially did not have those needs met. Well, one aspect of spiritual formation, of the ways that we are to be growing into the likeness of Christ, is learning how to allow these needs to once again be met first and fully by God. And then by others in community as they too are having those needs met first and foremost by God. That's what creates safe and healthy spiritual community. And yet what I would say to you this morning is that this is not easy. And it takes time. It often takes healing, and it often takes the help of others that are willing to be in that journey with us. It's often in the midst of our struggling that we can find underneath us why we're struggling. In other words, it's often when I consider the motives behind the choices I'm making that I can begin to get some insight into which of these longings might I be trying to fill. Because where any of these are lacking in our lives, we are by nature going to go out and look for them to be filled by other people, by other things. And so if I have a lacking in this need to feel like I belong, I'm going to go into the world looking for people that will accept me, that will welcome me. And I might be willing to compromise an awful lot about myself so that I feel like I belong. Or if I'm lacking in this need for significance, I may spend my entire life trying to make it to the top so that I feel like I'm somebody. Because all of that sense of significance rests in maybe my performance or my accomplishments or my achievements, instead of in the fact that I'm a child of God, chosen and loved and empowered by the Creator. And so what I've found in my life is that I need some scriptures that I can kind of have as my go-to scriptures that I think speak to all of these things. And one of those passages for me is Psalm 139, and I know that this is one of those passages for others in this congregation. Psalm 139 gives us a sense of how all of these things are met in us by God. But before we get to Psalm 139, there's a little sidetrack I want us to take. And again, this is something that I hope you've heard. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul's addressing the issue of spiritual gifts, but in doing so, he's wrapping all of this around this idea of love. We talked about this, I think that was just last week. It seems like a month ago, but I'm pretty sure it was just last Sunday. We referenced 1 Corinthians 13 and this idea of love and the importance of it. I want to kind of hone in on the second half of verse 12. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. Now I only know in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And Paul's starting to talk about this sense that what we have in this life is a partial understanding, a partial sense of who we are and who God is and how God created the world. But there will be a day in Christ's return in the fullness of the kingdom where we will have a fullness in all of our knowledge of who God is and who we are in God. And he's pointing to this. He's pointing to this fullness. But look at how this word is phrased. It says, then I will fully know. This is in future tense. There is a day that I will fully know God, even as I have been, past tense, fully known. So there's a day when I will fully know God the way God already fully knows me. So what will be true of our knowledge of God in the future is already true of how God knows us fully today. Now I need to reiterate that this word know, when we read that, we have in our minds this idea of intellectual knowledge. That's not the scripture's understanding of knowing. Both in the Hebrew and the Greek, to know is to experience, is to have relationship, to have an intimate relationship. It's not just an intellectual knowledge, but it's a relational knowledge. So it's not just that we will know or that we are fully known. It's like we are really known. And this idea of being really known means that we are also really loved. Because to be known by God is to be loved by God. 1 John 4:19 tells us that we love because we were first loved by God. Our only capacity to love is because there is a lover of our souls who first loved us. Before we were capable of loving, God has known and loved us. I'd kind of forgotten this was up here, but someone on some particular day put a little sticky note on the pulpit so that I would see it when I come up here to preach. And it simply says, you are known and deeply loved. You are known and deeply loved. And this is true of us. And when we begin to understand what Paul's telling us in 1 Corinthians 13, that there's a way that we are deeply known and loved by God already, then we can begin to understand some of the nuances and depth of Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. O Lord. This is Yahweh. This is the creator of all things who spoke the world into creation. This is Yahweh, the God who called and chose Abraham, who raised up a people to serve and take God's love to the world. This is the God who, through Moses, led Israel out of Egypt, the God that we've grown up hearing stories about. This is the God who currently sustains the heavens and all things, brings order out of chaos. This is the God who became incarnate in Jesus Christ to dwell among us. That Lord has searched me and knows me and loves me. That God, Yahweh, creator of all things, has searched you, knows you fully, and loves you. Now, already in one verse, what does that tell us about some of these core longings and how we can have them met fully in the Lord? Speaks to our desire to be loved, speaks to our desire to feel secure, speaks to our sense of significance. You could go on and on. It's all there. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. Put in my own words, whether I'm resting or moving, you know, Lord. The desires and the motives in my heart, you know those too. All that I do and think, you know it before I do. Oh Lord, you know it completely. Now, if you're anything like me, this is when Psalm 131 starts to go from a place of comfort to a place of uh-oh. You're telling me, Lord, you know my motives? You're telling me, Lord, you know my thoughts before I do? You're telling me, Lord, there's not a word that's come out of my mouth that you didn't know before it came out? That there's nothing that I've done? You're telling me, Lord, that I can't deceive you, that I can't trick you, that I can't play games. You're telling me, Lord, that I can't put on a front that will protect you from seeing what's really in here or in here. You're telling me, Lord, that you really know my thoughts and my motives, my actions, whether pure or evil, whether holy or selfish. Yes. God knows me. Now, if we allow it, shame will begin to creep into this conversation. And we'll speak things to you in the way that shame has spoken things to me. Oh, God knows you. Well, then you know that God can't possibly love you. Oh, if God knows everything about you, he knows about those thoughts you were having. He knows about you doing this. He knows about all the ways that you've turned your back, all the ways that you've run, all the stuff you've gotten into, the messiness of what life might be. If God knows all of that, then good luck. That voice has crept into my mind so many times in my life. A few things about that. God takes sin seriously, and so should we. Because the consequences, both earthly and heavenly, are significant. They're serious. But God took sin so seriously that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth and accomplish for us what we cannot accomplish. To go to the cross and to pay the penalty, to be a substitutionary atonement, to live a perfect life, to be our moral exemplar, all of those things, all wrapped up into this incredible event where Jesus Christ took all of the brokenness of the world, placed them on himself, and exchanged it for us, the righteousness of God. Paul, in his letter to the church in Philippi, says that all of our record of sin was nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. It's gone, it's done, it's erased. It was placed there and taken to the grave. And so while sin is serious and so are the consequences, so is what God has already done on our behalf to pay the penalty for those sins, to take care of them, to wipe them out of our lives. And so this is how serious God is about sin. God said, I'm going to provide a way for you to be forgiven of everything you've ever done and will do. Boom, done, it's gone. Now let's get serious about you understanding how much I love you. Get that out of the way. Forget about it. It's gone. Come to Jesus Christ. Receive God's salvation through him in the forgiveness of sins and worry no more. Second, this could speak to our concept of God. Does this produce comfort or anxiety that God knows you, knows your thoughts, knows your ways? And if that places in you a sense of anxiety, I wonder why. Might we step into that and say, why, Lord, does that make me feel anxious? Maybe some of us grew up in an environment where our parents would say things like this to us. You know, God's watching. You better not, because I may not be there, but you know what God is. Maybe we grew up in an environment where this concept of God was used to try to modify our behavior. Now, if that was true, think about how we now conceive of God. God is just up there waiting for an opportunity to say, oops, messed up, oh, shouldn't have done that. And while that may sound silly to some of you, that was my concept of God. Now, why would I ever want to be in an intimate relationship with that God if I have that concept? And yet, let's allow what's being told of us in the truths of Psalm 139 to sink in. Yes, God knows it all. Yes, God knows you completely. And in spite of it all, God knows you and searches you and loves you. In spite of it all, trusting in Jesus, God, you know me. God, you love me. God, you desire to be with me. Your presence is with me. Moving on, verse 5, you hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. That's a hand of comfort. I look behind me and you've been there. I look ahead and you're there. Your reassuring presence, it comes and goes with me. Some of you have been in my little office over here where I kind of get away and study in quiet and meet with people for counseling. And there's a picture in there, a print of a rowboat. And that rowboat has symbolized for me, not just that print, long before I purchased that print, symbolized this idea to me that the way that we can move forward in faith is by looking back upon how God has sustained us up until today. Because when you're rowing a boat, you realize you're looking in the opposite direction of the way the boat's moving. If you've rowed a boat and that's not the way it's worked, you might want to consider some alternative ways of rowing a boat. As you row, you're looking backwards and you're moving forwards. And that paints a great picture for us. As we look back, we see God was there. And God's brought me to this point, and that can help give us faith in the understanding that God will remain present as we move forward. Our past informs the future, but I'll be honest with you, that can also work in a negative way. And so for some of us who look back and always sees negative, 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 abuse, hurt, trauma, whatever that might be, sometimes we need help seeing how Jesus was present with us, even in the midst of those things. And as we begin to find healing in that way, we understand how Jesus, who is present even in that, is present with me today and will be present with me tomorrow. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's so high that I cannot attain it. Do you ever get wrapped up in your own mind? Do you ever try to start figuring this stuff out? Intellectually, I'm going to try to figure out today what eternity is all about. That's a really good way to get yourself into a mess of anxiety. I'm going to wrap my head around God who loves me. The God who created it all has his eyes upon me. Let me sit down today and figure that out. See, this isn't something to be understood. This is someone to experience. The idea that God knows me is an invitation to experience a relational God. That God loves me. That God is present with me. It's great to know it. It's better to know it. To feel him. To experience him. I love verse 13. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. You know, there are a lot of miraculous, in my mind, and mysterious things that happen in the womb. From one fertilized egg, 60 trillion cells are developed, 100,000 miles of nerve fibers, 60,000 miles of blood vessels. We could go on and on about our bones and muscles and ligaments and organs and some miraculous and mysterious things happen in the womb. And we're blind to it all. And what Psalm 139 reminds us is that God's hands are there in the midst of it. That we are the handiwork of God. That it's God himself who's there knitting it all together, making all of this work, making sure you get just the right DNA to become the person that he's creating you to be, to fulfill the purpose that he has for your life. Even in those secret places, God, you are there. Your eyes looked upon me. You covered me. I had a period in my life where I was having a really hard time sleeping at night. And I couldn't figure out why other than just my brain just wouldn't shut off. Some of you have been there, maybe all of you. But it was over a period of time where I was just getting exhausted because of it. And I was in prayer one day and taking this to the Lord, and I had this, all of a sudden, I just had this image of actually me being in a womb and the Lord's hands coming and being placed upon the womb, holding me and covering me and protecting me. And it brought a sense of rest and safety to me that allowed me to begin to sleep at night. And I don't know what that's all about. Try to figure that out in your brain. These aren't things to understand. They're an invitation to someone to experience. Now, how does that speak to core longings? These verses, that sense of belonging and love and security, significance and purpose and being understood. Who can better understand us than the one who created us, who formed us, who knit us together? In your book, Lord, were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. Throughout all of our lives, from the womb to our death. And what I would say is that death provides another womb for us where we are then birthed into another life of eternity, which I keep trying to understand it and I can't. But it's a promise made. What these verses remind us is that all of that, in all of that, God is not surprised. The events that happen in our lives, God is not surprised. God is present. Now, I know that opens up a whole other set of questions. If God's present, if God knows, and if God's not surprised, then how could God allow this to happen? And how could this? And the reality of it is that there's evil in the world, and I can't explain it. It's a mystery to me. I'm not going to try. But I know God's present in it. And I know God reaches into the depths. And I know God is there. And the fact that God's not surprised gives me hope and comfort that God's going to get me through it. Aquinas said something very similar to that. Said, the fact that I know God allowed this to happen to my life allows me to believe that God is going to give me the strength to get through it. That's profound. It's not easy. It's profound. God will, in some way, hold all of this together. Move it all in the direction of God's divine plan. Verse 17, how weighty to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. I try to count them, and they are more than the sand. Don't get caught up trying to analyze, trying to conceptualize, trying to make perfect sense of all of this. I spend a lot of hours in that realm. It's important, it's good. It's good to have a strong theology of these things. But without the experience of the Lord, it's empty. This isn't something to just understand. This all speaks to an invitation to someone to experience. I come to the end, I am still with you. That presence is still there. Now, here's the challenge for a lot of us. We know it's true, but is it real? You've heard me say that before. We know it's true, but is it real? We have it in our heads. How do we get it to our hearts? How do we come to begin more and more to experience the someone who knows us fully and loves us? Well, all I can tell you for me is that the more I sit and position myself to hear of the Lord, the more I begin to experience that presence. Is that oftentimes the Lord comes in the stillness of life. And let's be honest, it's hard to make room in our lives for stillness. And yet the Lord desires to meet us there. God's everywhere, but our awareness is raised when we sit and be still and know that God is God. So I'm going to ask Alan to come forward. And as we enter into our time of prayer and reflection this morning, I'm going to guide it a little bit for you. And my prayer is that God will allow us to experience the truths of these scripture. And all I'm going to do is say a simple prayer over you, and then I'm going to read for you again these verses in Psalm 139. And I just ask you to take a posture where you're open to allow the Lord to begin to place images and thoughts and ideas in your mind about how this scripture speaks directly to you. And so if you'll bow your heads and your hearts with me, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and that you will awaken our spiritual senses to your presence, and that you would allow us to hear this word as living word spoken directly to us, and sanctify our imaginations and just allow us to allow you to enter in and create for us a picture of your love as expressed in these verses. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down. You know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down. And are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Just allow yourself to sense the Lord's hand being laid upon you. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. That I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Oh, I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end, and I am still with you. Lord, may we experience your ongoing loving presence now and each and every moment. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.